By grace you have been saved, because God is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him, seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's my great privilege this afternoon to welcome you on behalf of the family and this church to the Thanksgiving and Memorial Service for the life of our dear brother Roger Kemp. In whatever capacity or situation we knew him, whether as one of his family, whom he loved so dearly, or a friend, a colleague, or a fellow church member, Roger had such a positive impact on us all. You couldn't resist his warmth, his genuine interest, his enthusiasm, his willingness to help whenever and however he could. And that so many of us are here this afternoon is a testimony to the love and the respect in which we all held him. The reason I started this service with that Bible passage that I did is that it spells out clearly the heart of the Christian message which Roger so devoutly believed and longed to share with others so that they might experience the love of God as well. Roger never got over the wonder of the grace of God which had brought him into a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And our opening hymn expresses exquisitely Roger's own response to that love and grace. So we're going to stand and sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. Does everyone have an order of service? Have they got a copy of the words? If you haven't, we can project it onto the screen. Okay. Please be seated. And we should come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your kindness and love to us day by day, even when we're not aware of it. Help us to recognise that you're the one upon whom we are all utterly dependent, and that life itself and the love and the relationships that enrich our lives so much are good gifts from your hand. Especially today, we want to thank you for Roger and for lending him to us for these 77 years. We thank you for his personality, his abilities, his sense of humour, and for the great contribution he made to our lives. Thank you for the privilege of having known him. We thank you too for his faith in you that shaped his life and actions, for the way he sought to honour and please you and longed to help others come to know you. But now he is gone, and while we miss him, we know that he is where he wanted to be, with his Lord and Saviour. Help us then in this service to honour him, but also to honour you for your transforming grace in his life. We ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we continue in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can bring our thanks to you for Roger, and that we can be assured that he's now more fully alive than he has ever been, rejoicing in the presence of his Saviour. But we are here, Lord, and he is deeply and desperately missed by those who loved him so much. And so we pray for your comfort, particularly for his family at this stressful time and in the days ahead, as the reality of loss sinks in. Help them as they sorrow and have to adjust to this changed situation. Enable them to mourn, but also to find hope and solace in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Roger and Sally first came to this church, they were like a breath of fresh air, and we were thrilled to have them with us. It was a mutual appreciation, for they said that they felt that they had come home. And even after Sally's death, Roger continued to play a full part in the life of our church, and he was an inspiration and a challenge to us and to our own discipleship. In the few years he had with us here, not only was he a real blessing to us, but he touched the lives of many other Christians, even in Albania and Myanmar, formerly Burma. James Clark is one of the pastors in a church in Albania, and he isn't here this afternoon, I'm afraid, but you'll have to put up with me. He sent the following account of his memories of Roger. I can't remember very clearly the first time I met Roger and Sally. I simply remember being greeted warmly by an energetic-looking man after an evening meeting at West Worthing Evangelical Church. Then in January 2016, Roger wrote to me via email saying that he and Sally were praying for us in Albania. And from then on, Roger would write enthusiastic emails to me every couple of months, encouraging us and asking how he could help the church in Jiracasta. Later on, I found out that it was during this time that Sally had died. I was moved by how he was thinking of others, even during this bereavement. It was in 2017 that I really got to know Roger. He had offered to come over to help us with an evangelistic summer camp we were planning for teenagers. From the moment he arrived, Roger immediately got stuck in, helping in any way he could and always going the extra mile. He talked to everyone, and when he wasn't talking, he was praying. The young people at the camp took to calling him Uncle Roger. During that camp, one young teenager got sick, and Roger took it upon himself to stay by his bedside in his free time to keep him company and to help nurse him back to health. The boy recovered, but unfortunately, Roger got very ill himself. Instead of staying on to the second week of camp, I felt it was best to take Roger home. Although this meant him missing one of the camps that he had come to help with, the positive side was that they ended up spending the week together in Jiracasta. We both believed that in God's sovereignty, this was providential. In 2018, he wanted to come again. The illness clearly hadn't put him off. This time we planned for him to come over in the spring when it wasn't so hot. He came over in March 2018, stayed in Giracasta for 2 weeks, helping with a mixture of practical and spiritual things. Believers in the church got to know him a lot better, and Uncle Roger felt like part of the family. He then spent a week in Saranda helping with outreach amongst young people. In 2019, Roger wrote to me telling me he had booked tickets to come and help us with our summer holiday camps. If I had known about his recently diagnosed lung condition, I probably would have stopped him. Having said that, he had recently been to Burma and there seemed to be no stopping him going on adventures. Roger was a great help once again at these evangelistic holiday clubs, and in the evenings and in the cool of the day, we greatly enjoyed his company over meals. One night we had a barbecue, another evening we went out with friends, and these are great memories. Sometimes he talked about how he had met Sally. At other times, about his time in the fire service. But most of all, he wanted to talk about the Lord and what he was still learning from his word. Roger also shared in church meetings in the evenings, encouraging members of our church with his faith and service. Sadly, Roger's health deteriorated sharply one night during this visit. We decided he had better stay at home and rest in order to recover. But instead of recovering, things just got worse and worse. Eventually, I managed to get him to the hospital in Corfu, where he got yet worse, and at one point had a fit, and it seemed that he wasn't going to pull through. Although this was all painful to watch, it was an honour to look after Roger, and I was amazed at his optimism and bravery. He was cheerful and good-humoured with everyone he met, despite his own discomfort. I could go on and share many memories of Roger's service to others. His generosity, care, faith, kindliness, and prayerfulness. But I'm not sure Roger would want that. Roger was honest about his faults. And to me, Roger is a testimony of what Christ can do to a man. Our Lord can seek out sinners and mould and carve them into people who inspire others and point them forward. Roger made friends with peoples of all ages here in Albania. He felt for those who were poor. He prayed tearfully with those who were suffering. He encouraged teenagers. He was like a granddad to my own two children. Uncle Roger has many good friends in Albania who will miss him deeply, but look forward to meeting him again one day in the new heavens and the new earth. So there is a tribute from James Clark, and speaking to, I guess, on behalf of the church there in Albania. But now we're going to hear from Samantha on behalf of the family. She recalls some of the memories and pays tribute to her dad. Thank you, Samantha.
Right, I'm going to try and keep it together. Dad's strong faith was known by everybody that knew him. It was such an important focus his entire life, you know, from when I was tiny, we went to church and he practiced what he preached. And he was often sort of changed course, and he definitely felt he'd come home when he came here. He was so much happier than he'd been for years, he and Mum. But as well as his faith, he was a dad, a grandpa, great-grandpa, affectionately known as Gigi. He was also a much-loved brother and an uncle, and his strong faith also made him a popular candidate for godparent. We've all been blown away by the number of cards and kind words from people from paths that he's crossed, you know, over the years. Former colleagues remember him as a thoroughly decent man. They also remembered that he had very strong views, and that never went without saying. He was always intent on sharing the gospel with anybody that met him. Whether you wanted to hear it or not, he was there. He was so passionate about Christ. He shared many memories with all of us over the years, particularly his time growing up in Germany. We've all been party to different stories and have shared a few over the last few weeks, and I think we look forward to sharing a lot more memories with each other. He often spoke about the school holidays that he spent with his aunts, his uncles and his cousins. One thing we all noticed when we were trying to find a photo for the order of service was that he was very, very rarely alone. He was a real people person and absolutely so in love with Mum. Hence the montage on the back of the order of service, because we just couldn't find any of him on his own. Both our parents and our Uncle Robin, who is my mum's brother, have shared the story of their first meeting many times. They met through Robin, who Dad was studying with, and Robin invited Dad back for a Sunday roast at their house, to the warm, welcoming home of our Nan and Grandad. And this was where our own parents developed their deep sense of family. Always happy to have a house full. We fondly remember memories of people being squashed around a table. And from their first meeting, they were totally inseparable, and it really was love at first sight. His many years in the fire service were often talked about. He had a real sense of pride and enjoyed sharing some of the antics they would get up to on watch. I'm sure there were many that he could never have shared with us, but he shared many. One in particular we all remembered was when a colleague was afraid of spiders, and he was actually driving the fire appliance open to a matchbox, and a carefully placed spider crawled out, almost causing accident. But it tickled him for years. He often talked about it. I personally remember a police escort taking burgers to the annual fire brigade barbecue because it was deemed important enough to have these burgers. He was well travelled from a young age due to his father's job in the RAF. And this began again, as Dennis said, after Mum had died. He just felt really called to start travelling and spreading the gospel. He was so excited to have the opportunity to share God's word to Myanmar and Albania. And even when he was ill, as Dennis has said, it continued, once again showing his devotion to the church and his faith, and always putting others before himself. I've just said, you know, he was just so happy when he found this church with Mum, and they really felt that they belonged. And yes, he felt that he could learn so much as well, which is, you know, Dad always wanted to learn more. The fellowship they had here gave them a real sense of belonging, and it didn't go unnoticed. He was a fantastic debater. Many here today would have heard some pretty deep conversations with him. Differences of opinion were not uncommon and made for interesting and often feisty conversation. But Dad was always accepting of other people's views, even if they weren't the right view. He missed Mum deeply. James from Albania has actually shared with me, you know, how he spent evenings in Albania reminiscing and talking about his love for Mum and how much he missed her. His grandchildren have shared some of their memories. We were reminded of his love of reading, and when the children were growing up, particularly poetry and verse being top of the list, and they've all been able to recite poems that he's told them over the years. In the hall where we've got the food afterwards, there's a few copies of one of his favourites that we all remembered particularly. Ice cream is another memory that they all shared. Whatever the weather, whatever the season, if we were out with Grandpa, we would have to have an ice cream. And that's a memory of the grandchildren. The girls will remember pink flowers were very special. One of my daughters was very upset that she never got flowers, so Grandpa deemed it important enough to always provide his granddaughters pink flowers on their birthday. I personally will miss his beaming Cheshire Catherine. Be forever thankful for the strong sense of family that he and Mum has instilled in us. My husband and the Ford family, have been really spoilt the last few years, having sort of remained living close, even with Mum being poorly. But since Mum has passed away, we've seen Dad nearly every day. And we had an amazing Christmas and New Year this year, despite his ill health. We'd have loved for him to have hung around a bit longer, But we know that he was more than ready to go home to God, and he at least is happy with that choice. And it's reassuring to know how at peace he really is. Just one more thing. We have put some memory books in the hall at the back. And if any of you have got any memories that you would like to share, that would be really fantastic. So we can just sort of have a look and see, you know, what you will remember of him. But thank you.
Thank you, Samantha. That was lovely. Now we're going to hear from God's Word, which always speaks to our situations, and especially at a time like this. And I want to read, first of all, Psalm 16 from the Old Testament. This is the testimony of a man who had been through the mill, yet knew where true security lies. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And then when we turn to the New Testament, we have the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 14. He was speaking to his disciples who were puzzled and sad. And these words point us to the only sure hope for any of us. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then a final reading comes from the writings of the Apostle Peter. And he shows us that the Christian faith affects both our life in this world and in the next. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We're going to take our order sheet once more, and we're going to sing our next hymn, that familiar and lovely hymn, The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. And at the conclusion of this hymn, the Reverend Jim Winter will speak to us.